Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That's right. The Drive is live on a Victory Monday. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see Tyler's Victory Monday shirt as the Texans pull one out of the fire. They are now 3-1. And hey, a gritty win. There it is, huh? A gritty win.
Feels right. Like all of them.
That's, no, man. You take them, baby. You're atop the division now.
Yeah.
All right. Gritty win. You got essentially a two-game lead over the Colts since you beat them head-to-head in Indy. So a big W for the Texans. Did what they had to do to get the W. So good for them. It's a Mad Dog Monday, I believe. So, yeah, man. I don't know where the Mad Dog is. I know I had Nico Collins, so I know that wasn't
I took the bullet with Cam Akers and then totally forgot.
Totally forgot.
I tried to pick you up, bro.
Kyler
really
tried
did.
To pick me up. I was already in here. I mean, he tried to pick it up, made a couple stops, couldn't find the dog, man.
I'd be damned. We couldn't make it to week four.
I got a $20 bill to put in the pot.
Well, we can pretend. Let's, you know, open it up and cheers.
My taste buds are thanking me, though.
That was a hit. So we did, because I wasn't sure who actually lost, and we will get right down to it here on the Reaction Monday, but you had Joe Mixon. I think it was very fair. This was not really written into the bylaws that you could change your pick due to injury, but I do think it is fair.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that would have been an issue. I was thinking, a late scratch, would I just automatically lose?
Somebody one time.
That happened to you. You chose Davis Mills and you got screwed.
Yeah. We need to get that in black and white so I know. Because I will not pick anybody that's even
I think that's fair. I don't think that was fair for Tyler last year, so I think that's fair. You got in.
What do you do? Pick Davis Mills and Davis was hurt?
No, I remember we all thought Davis was going to start because he had been the backup quarterback all year and did.
Oh, the Case Keenum game. I got you.
Case Keenum there, baby. And he did. Davis did get in a. Remember, they made Davis throw the Hail Mary ball because Case couldn't get it down.
He did
make one throw, and I think he got picked off. So Tyler had Dalton Schultz. I thought it was tight. Dalton Schultz had three catches. I think the big first down catch
at the end,
maybe takes it over the top because Cam Akers had a lot of empty calorie.
We were all thinking yards, the same so. Then because I saw that big third down catch and I was like, that's big time. That's big time.
The extra effort. Yeah, that was big. That was big. And Cal, I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize that Cam had over 4 yards of carry. I didn't realize he ended up with over 4 yards of carry.
They slid Cam the ball a couple of times on second and 25.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple of runs in there made that stat look good. But I greatly appreciate those.
He slid it up.
But I appreciate you doing me solid, though, on your little Twitter poll. You gave me Dalton.
Did I?
You gave me Dalton and him Cam, and we got
man, messed that up.
Well, we actually the reason I need to thank you is because I think I actually saw some responses that I thought it was going to be Dalton Schultz landslide, but I actually saw a couple responses like I believe I'd have gone with Cam.
Yeah, I fouled that up. Excuse me, I apologize. And I was going fast. I will be honest with you when I did that. But D'Amico Ryans, he will speak, and I promise you, we will carry that live, so much so we're going to jump out of this segment early to make sure we get right there live to the coach as he is expected to come on about 2:15. So we will make sure you hear that. All right, Clint, a lot happened, but the fourth quarter and really the final drive is what I think a lot of Texans fans will remember from this game. As C.J. Stroud with another comeback win, Clint, and coming out of it, ultimately they got the W, and that was the story. Down 20-17, Clint. C.J. Stroud throws C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins throws them on their back and has the drive that they absolutely had to have.
Yeah, look, I mean, I would rather not come down to the last drive, but I've got an unhealthy level of confidence in C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick when it comes down to one drive for all the marbles. We're not going to play these little personnel gimmick games. We're going to get the ball to Nico. We're gonna put it in C.J.'s hands, and I've probably got an unhealthy level of confidence. So I was very confident that they were going to make something happen there. Late, but this is the game where, like, I don't know that C.J. Stroud has had a moment this year. I don't know that he's had a moment where he put the team on his back. Didn't need to in week one, obviously, was had hell in week two against Chicago. And really, the Minnesota game was out of whack and never presented itself to have a moment. This is the first time, I believe, that he was presented with a do-or-die moment, and he put his cape on and he went down and had a beautiful drive for a touchdown, executed beautifully throughout. And it's just one of those games where you're like, hey, we got C.J. Stroud and you got Trevor Lawrence, and C.J. Stroud got the last laugh.
Absolutely, yes. And he was, what, 5 for 5 on that drive? Yeah. and did what he needed to do and carried that fake out perfectly and then got that ball over to Dario Ogunbowale. So big time effort from C.J. As you said, had to have it because there would be a completely different feel from people walking out of that parking lot, from people in the stands, from the conversation we'd probably be having today. Be completely different.
Well, it was on pace to be another one of those games where, yeah, there's big numbers and it's gonna be made to look a lot better than it really is. Until that moment, like it was the moment to make the drive, and when it's ugly the way it was, I mean your superstar's got to step up, and he stepped up in the last opportunity. I will say this: the defense in the fourth quarter, the defense in the fourth quarter was nasty. Now
that third, fourth and goal from the one. Had to have that stop.
Well, I mean, really, right since that long 58-yard run that Tank Bigsby had, I mean, it was. After that, from there on, the defense was absolutely tremendous, absolutely lights out. It was D'Amico talked about in the post game, talking about how what was the difference. Well, it was the approach of all 11 guys. They weren't playing Texans football. They weren't swarming. Well, they did in the fourth quarter, and they gave the offense multiple opportunities right there to get the job done. And you give CJ enough opportunities, eventually he's going to get one. And him and Nico were on one yesterday, and it was big. But that defense was lights out, man. In the fourth quarter, the defense was they played really, really well.
Yeah, because you sit there, think about it, boy, if they go up and score a touchdown, it looked like Bigsby was going to score a big hustle play from Bullock to get him down on the ground inside the five. And then I heard D'Amico screaming it out, saying – watch the draw. Quarterback draw. I mean, Doug Peterson couldn't have made it more obvious when he went empty of what the potential play was going to be. And Foley Fatakasi made a huge play to get that stop, because they go up 10 there. Even with everything that happened, that means CJ and them, they got to score twice. Yep. They got to try to get the ball and get it down there twice to make it happen. And so that was a huge, huge momentum shift in that game. And you know, them being able to flip field position a bit also from that point to be able to get down there. So big time performance in the fourth quarter from the defense and from C.J. Stroud when they needed it. All right, let's get ready to head down to NRG here in just a bit, as we will hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. He'll speak to the media. He has now had 24 hours to kind of look at what he watched and look at the tape. And I know there's some good and probably some that he's disappointed in. But we'll hear his thoughts and what he had to say. Excuse me, what he had to say coming up here in just a bit. D'Amico Ryans, as soon as we get back, we'll hear him live from NRG.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in, and we will head right to NRG, carry that live for you as soon as the head coach D'Amico Ryans makes his way to the podium. As every Monday, he talks to the media about yesterday's game, injuries, and things of that nature. And I am really interested to hear what he's got to say about, you know, several things. The penalties again, Clint.
Yep.
Reared its ugly head, and now it's almost, Clint, like this is. This feels like, I mean, you almost just have to almost account for it in the games, right? You almost have to expect it. Like years and years ago with the Raiders were always just going to get penalties. And this just seems like this is, because this is three consecutive weeks they've had double-digit penalties. And he has said it's going to get addressed. He has said we're going to do this. And it continues to not just be a problem, but a major problem.
We don't like
it's hard
that.
It's hard to overcome, man. The competition the rest of the way is going to get significantly more difficult. Starts this week against Buffalo. And if you're going to shoot yourself in the foot to the tune of 10-plus penalties for 100 yards week in, week out, it's going to be hard to overcome. Especially when those penalties are – because the hidden yardage there is the plays that actually get called back because of some of these penalties. I know there was a C.J. Stroud scramble for a first down. Holding Laramie Tunsil gets brought back. There's another holding for Laramie Tunsil that makes you start, I believe it was behind the chains in a first and 15 or a first and 20. So it just, like, they're hard to overcome whether you're erasing big plays or you're putting yourself behind the chains immediately. That's going to be tough against Buffalo.
Well, let's see what the coach has got to say. Let's head to NRG to catch D'Amico Ryan.
Oh, man.
What do you think about the game last night in Baltimore, winning that game so decisive?
Baltimore is a tough place to play. And the Bills have been doing a really great job all year, moving the football, being explosive, and you know, Baltimore is really seem like they have it going. So, tough place to play. We know how that feels going into it, and you know, not playing your best there always will be a tough place to play. But we know this week, we know we'll get the Bills best coming into this week.
To be 3-1, 4 games in, which is a goal. How do you feel about just kind of where this team is, where it stands, things you can improve on, things that have gone well?
Yeah, with where we are now, we're just excited for the next one versus the Bills. Like, a really good opponent coming in to our house. So we're excited. We're fired up about this matchup. We know they're not feeling their best after the loss, and we're not feeling our best after how we won the game. We're excited about the win, but there's a lot of things to clean up, a lot of things for us to fix. We're excited to fix it off of a win, but we still have to get us right as a team, and we'll continue to work on that.
Any update on Christian Harris? Could he practice this week?
No, Christian won't be practicing this week. So he's still on the road to recovery. He's doing well, on the right track. We'll get him when we get him.
You guys had a lot of DBs, even some of the linebackers, play 100% of the snaps, 98% of the snaps through these first four games. Is that something that is just necessary the way you want to play defense, and how sustainable is a large snap count like that for your guys?
But the snap counts is just a matter of we want our best guys on the field at that time. We know we try to rotate our defensive line as best we can to make sure those guys are fresh in the fourth quarter and being able to rush in those critical moments, third downs, when we need them to go get after the quarterback. But with our guys in the back end, our linebackers, corners, and safeties, there's not a lot of rotation going on with those guys.
Why you all were successful in the first half? What do you feel like you all did a lot better offensively, particularly also in the running game too?
Yeah, offensively, I mean, our offense, we've been explosive. We've been able to move the ball. We've had drives get stalled, and we haven't scored touchdowns in the red zone as best we would like throughout this season. So we just had to continue to be as explosive as we're being, but make sure we get points off of those explosives.
Do you
as a coach, I know you talk about swarming, and when we think of swarming, it's, you know, six guys going for a tackle. But when you see a running back break away, and it would be easy to just let him go into the end zone, and that tackle leads to a goal line stand, does that hustle play get extra credit, extra attention in, like, film studies?
I don't think it'll be easy to let the guy go in the end zone from your question, but they can't slow up either. And so, but it's all about effort for us. As I talked about with Kalen, it's all about effort. It's all about finish. And that play just epitomizes what our defense is about. And that's what we're about, effort. You don't want the run to get out like that, but when it happens, great play call by the Jags. They got us on a play. But Kalen's effort in stopping the guy where he stopped him allowed us to have that goal line stand. So that's what we're about, you know, on defense.
What did you see in the mentality going in? You guys about to pick Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills are a team that has consistently been in, like, that Super Bowl push. You guys have very high expectations internally. What's kind of my mentality and approach for a week like this, knowing that you guys do have a team that's been towards the top of the AFC for the past half decade?
That really doesn't matter to me. It's like, can we play our best versus our next opponent? Like, all of the storylines on the contenders and not, like, we're in week five. Like, let's be the best team in week five, and that's the only thing that matters, and that's where our focus is. If our focus gets off on anything else this week, then that won't help us on Sunday. So it's about keeping a singular focus, being locked in on the details of the things we have to do.
What did you think of Kate Stover's progression, including the block on Stephon's touchdown run and also the 27-yard catch?
Kate had a really nice game. Personally, really nice in the passing game. He showed up, really got an explosive there with CJ. Really nice route, good hands, good finish on the catch. And on Steph's touchdown, he had the touchdown block. Like, we talk about finishing it down on somebody, block whoever's in the way. And Stover showed up there. Two guys left him. CJ were able to get two of their defenders to pull out on CJ. And, you know, Cade is right there with a guy coming in to make the play, and he throws a great block. Cade's been doing a really good job blocking. Also, Dalton did a really better job of blocking. Both tight ends blocked really well in the run game.
In the second half, y'all had a couple of good first down runs. But by and large, when you run up first down, it's put CJ in a bad hole. What is that? How fired up does the defense get for that since you did that? Can you place the second, third one on the team?
For us defensively?
Yeah, well, if you played defense, did you get excited when it was always second, third
down? when you're in those favorable positions, I think as a defense, you want to create negative plays on first down so the D-line can pin their ears back and really rush the passers. So that's where every defense has that goal of creating negatives. And so you can play second and long, third and long. It's just more predictable with the percentages when you're in those situations. So sometimes whether you run on first or pass on first, it's all about offensively just getting positive yards on first down and trying to stay out of third down as best we can. We had a drive there where we were able to stay out of second down. We got a couple plays where we were first down, moving the ball, pressing forward. And that's where you want to be as an offense. You want to stay out of third down as much as possible.
Just going back and looking at some of the film, like, you guys did a better job of picking up stunts from from the defensive front. What do you think the biggest reason why the O-line this week compared to other weeks were able to do a better job at blocking some of the stunts?
Our O-line got better this week. They did a really nice job of protecting, giving CJ time. As I told them in the media, anytime your quarterback can throw for 350 yards, he's not just out there by himself. Like, the five guys up front did a really nice job of protecting, buying him time to go through his progressions and to make those throws, right? He escaped the pocket a couple times as well, you know, even extending those plays even longer. But, you know, I was pleased with the O-line and what they did, you know, in the passing game.
When it comes to Stephon Diggs, we talked a lot about his leadership, but was there anything that surprised you about him that he brought to the team that really helped you all, or was it the leadership?
For Steph, the thing that I like about what he's brought to our team, he just brings that relentless energy, passion for the game. He loves football, and I've said that multiple times. Like, you see it, the way he practices, the way he plays in the game. Like, he loves ball. He plays with effort. Like, That's all you want. Guys are going to play the game the right way and encourage your teammates and be a great teammate yourself, and that's what Steph does.
Into the first half when you guys were on offense, right after the two-minute warning, did that go the way you wanted to with timeout usage and ultimately what you were able to get there on that drive? I know you want points, but looking back, did you maybe see an opportunity to have a little bit more time, maybe use another timeout?
Yeah, I thought the drive went well. We've done a great job offensively of, you know, finishing the half with the ball and finishing with points, and that's always our goal, right? Finish with points, and that's what we've done. Offense done a great job. We just have to do a better job of coming out in the second half. It's where we struggle. We haven't played well when we've, you know, offensively or defensively coming out of halftime. It hasn't been great. So to get the quick three and out, that's been our focus, and my focus is where we have to get better is second half. How we starting drives, we're not starting the right way, we're not moving the ball enough there.
Coach, how would you assess the first quarter of the season for you?
Four games? For the first quarter of the season, we are where we should be. We're 3-1, and we still have a lot to improve upon. And I'm excited with where we are. We're getting better. In certain facets of our game, we're getting better, and that's always the goal of the season. Is can your team continue to progress and get better as the season goes forward? We're not a finished product right now, and we still have a long ways to go to becoming a really good football team. That's us handling all the details, all the small things, and being on it, and that's when we'll become better.
Any update on Joe Mixon and Tank for this week?
Joe and Tank will be day-to-day this week. We'll see how they progress throughout the week of practice.
Like teaching process with CJ. CJ's really good at throwing the ball down the field, intermediate. And teams obviously are very aware of that, and that's why you guys have seen a lot of too high. What's kind of like a teaching process of, if it's not there, just check it down and keep the offense on track, versus sometimes letting him do what he does, which is sometimes being able to create and scramble and make plays. What's kind of like that teaching process in that aspect?
Yeah, great question. There's no, better example of that than the play with Darrey on 3rd and 18, where they're in the too high and, you know, you can't throw the deep ball, right? They're taking away the deep ball. All defenses want to eliminate the explosives, and we've seen more two shell, more cover two for CJ, and he's done a great job of putting his eyes in the right spot and looking for the explosive, but it's not there. Checking the ball down to Darrey is a great example, and allowing our playmakers to make plays and not always trying to find a big play. Sometimes you just have to take what the defense gives you, and I think that's where CJ has had one of his best games, you know, since he's been here on yesterday, because he took what was there, checked it down. Darrey makes a big time play, and we get the chains moving. So it's all about just trusting, right? You want the big play all the time, but if it's not there, it's okay. Survive the play, get it checked down, and let's see what our back, what our tight ends can do with the ball.
Coach, I apologize if you've been asked this question already. Excuse my tardiness. Daniil said that you all, that when they came to the sideline on yesterday, you had a pretty heated message for them as far as the defense is concerned. What were you seeing at that point?
For me, the energy wasn't there. The how we were playing, it just wasn't there. My play style of how I envisioned our defense playing, it wasn't there. We weren't playing our style, and you know, I did not like the sideline demeanor. I did not like the energy from our defense, and I want to correct it while we still had an opportunity to correct it in game and not wait until the game is over to talk about it. But we had to get it fixed right then.
What's the message to Steven Sims after not pretty rough go of it for him yesterday? What's your message to Steven Sims?
For Sims, just, and for every player, right, you just have to be accountable, and that's the message to everybody. Like, yeah, we all wish we didn't make mistakes with plays, but mistakes happen. You move on. Like, you just move on. That's, we can't go back and correct it. We just move on.
Aside from the explosiveness that Josh Allen presents, what do you think makes the Bills dangerous?
What makes the Bills dangerous? I think they play complementary football as a team. Like, the offense does a great job of running the ball, the RPO, getting the ball out to their playmakers. They do a great job of keeping drives going, and they score touchdowns when they get, you know, in the red area. So, and their defense play does a really good job of, you know, disguising their coverages. They're very sound. You can tell they're well coached. They're sound, and they play well together. Those guys fly around. Smaller defense, but these guys, they fly around, they hit, they play together, and just collectively as a team, they play good complementary football, and I think that's why they've been really good over the past few years.
Domingo, you had seven explosive plays in the first game. You had seven yesterday. Did you go in with design that way, even though they play 2-deep coverage? How many of them were off schedule when Stroud was running around and found receivers for 20 or more?
Oh, yeah, we're always looking for the explosives. Most of CJ and Nico connected on a lot of those. I think, I can't remember the number, Nico had at least five or six of those explosives. That's that connection that you see. And we want to be explosive. I feel like anytime you get an explosive, you're setting yourself up to score points. So as many explosives as we can get on a drive, we want to do that. So that's always our mindset going in. But you have to earn those, and you earn those explosives in a pass game, you got to be able to try to run the ball to get defenses to kind of get out of the two shell, to get the backers to bite up so you can get the explosives and get the ball over the second level defender's head.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. That was head coach DeMeco Ryans addressing much of what happened in yesterday's game. Clint, real quick before we jump out, anything jump out to you? That DeMeco had to say there's as he's now had a little time after the game.
Yeah, look, he knew this immediately following the game, because he mentioned it last night in the post game presser. But the heated message to his team on the sideline, during the game really turned things around. I mean, that was immediately following that. We talked about the fourth quarter and the way that they played in the fourth quarter, which gave CJ multiple opportunities to take the lead and to win a ball game. And so I think it's just to have not necessarily a head coach, but a defensive play caller, one of the polos on the sideline that I expect to be a weapon every week, to have that guy understand in the moment, hey, I don't like where my team's at. I don't like the demeanor. I don't like the vibe. I don't like the energy. All right, let's call this thing up and lock everybody in. To have the ability to obviously be aware of that, process it, get them called up, get the adjustment made, and then go out there and ultimately really be the reason why you end up winning a football game is really, really impressive, man. Clearly, I love his tone on the penalties. He addressed it. He at least acknowledged and addressed it and was aware of it last night in the post-game presser. He does that again today. Now, we're going to talk about that later in the show. I don't know what the hell your head coach can do when it's 35 penalties in three games and it's offense, defense, great players, bottom of the roster. I don't know how far the lip service from a head coach goes, but at least he's aware of it and he's saying the right things in terms of them addressing it. We'll see if they can get it fixed. Seems to be a much more serious problem than maybe we first thought after one game.
Yeah, and I do want to touch that here in a little bit, the penalties, because this is, as we said, this is now just a trend, man. This is just almost an expectation. Mm-hmm. Like it's just going to happen. And how do they play within that, and how does that improve? We'll discuss that. Hey, before that though, Nico Collins, he talked about him just there at the end about the explosives he had. Well, he's proven a lot of people wrong, including myself, shutting a lot of people up. He was fantastic yet again yesterday. We'll continue with all of that on this Reaction Monday as the Texans go to 3-1 and continue to lead the AFC South. All of that as the drive continues to ride.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, good to hear from the head coach on a Victory Monday, a Mad Dog Monday, and a Reaction Monday right here on The Drive here on Sports Radio 610. If you missed it, hey, you get to hear him again as he will have the coaches show with DeMeco Ryans coming up at 5 o'clock right after us. So you get to hear from the head coach with the fellas again later on this evening. All right, let's get two things, man. Clint, we talked about C.J. Stroud earlier and what he did in that fourth quarter with another comeback win. And then we talked about that defense after that that emotional conversation, we'll put it that way, that DeMeco, and as he just spoke about it again in that press conference, had with his defense. We talked about how amazing they were. But Clint, this Nico Collins fella, 12 catches, 151 yards, one touchdown, and I mean chunk play after chunk play after chunk play, and finding himself open. Clint, Nico Collins has been sensational all year long, and was again, like we talked about it last week, boy, it took him a while to get him the ball. It shouldn't be 5 minutes left in the second quarter before he gets his first catch.
Yeah.
That happened right off the bat. They got him early and often.
Yeah, it was impressive, obviously, Sunday. It's been impressive all year long. I think, you know, Nico Collins has added to his resume, if you will. And I figured Tank Dell, in fact, I remember having the conversation with you, I figured Tank Dell would be the guy that would end up putting up bigger numbers this year because of his off-script, off-platform chemistry, if you will, with C.J. Stroud. Well, I know Tank's been injured, but let's be honest, even when Tank was available, that guy this year has been Nico Collins on top of everything else that he's been able to do. So you talk about just the Nico Collins resume is just he continues to put up big numbers. The resume continues to grow. The deal that the Houston Texans signed with him last year, thank God they didn't listen to me and want to see another year to sign that contract, because that contract is more and more of a discount the better that he plays.
Well, so, it looks like a steal now.
Oh, it's a steal, man. And so that's beautiful to watch. The thing about Nico, it's the same point, but the two different meanings, right? Is one, it's so impressive in terms of how it's getting done. This isn't a bunch of go routes that he's catching or a bunch of deep routes where the safeties are dropping low and he's getting over the top of the defense. There's none of that. I mean, everything he's doing is either him finding CJ in a scramble drill, or it's on time, on schedule, and it's him understanding the game to a whole nother level. It's great route running. It's great feel for zone defenses and when to settle and when not to settle. It's just, I don't, as an old QB, Ron, it's so beautiful to watch the dude do his work, because it's not about fundamentals and technique, but it's just so like football 101. You know what I mean? The guy's running great routes. The guy's got great hands. He's running after catch, and he's aggressive after catch. Like I said, great feel in these zones. In game, he's not doing a bunch of dancing. He's catching it, and he's getting north. You know, it's just there's it's like teaching tape with Nico Collins, man.
And clearly now, as we're 4 weeks into it, and he by far leads the league in receiving yards, this ain't a deal of,
yeah,
hey, Stephon Diggs is taking this coverage from him. Mm-hmm. Tank Dell didn't play yesterday. It ain't Tank Dell's taking. The focus has to be moving towards him,
yep,
and he is still 15 targets,
yep,
still getting open. The way he is getting open, man, he is, like I said, well, I first to step up, man. I thought, boy, he made a big improvement. And, you know, I thought, boy, let's see what he does coming off of last year, where he's taking this thing on up to a completely different level.
You know, the thing is, it's not as sexy as, you know, some of your top receivers, in a sense of Justin Jefferson going 97 yards and Jamar Chase doing what he does and how he puts up numbers. It's not as sexy as those guys, but again, it's so much more convincing, because the on platform, on schedule stuff where he's made the majority of his, over the 2 years, where he's made the majority of his plays, it's working a defense over. It's not like him physically going out there and just being a superior athlete, just throw me the ball type stuff, right? He understands, and there's a great feel and there's great chemistry. And the reason I lean so heavily into that, Ron, is because that is something that travels anywhere and everywhere. That is something that an offensive coordinator can call on and go, I know if I get the look that we typically get with this formation, we can throw the 18-yard in route to my left. I know if I get that look. CJ, if CJ gets this look, CJ can damn near make this throw with his eyes closed. And the rate in which CJ and Nico do that is super convincing. And it's super powerful on offense. It's not just throw it up to a guy. It's a guy out there that understands every single coverage and understands all the intricacies of the game and clearly is on the same page with his quarterback. And, boy, when you got that, it's hard to stop.
Well, and it's clear that Bobby Slowick is trying to get him in matchups because – not Diggs. Not saying he's not, but trying to – like the touchdown he caught was – to put him in the slot so he could be lined up against Cisco because he wanted him to exploit him in that matchup. He knew if he sent Dari Ogunbowale out wide that the corner would go out and flex out to him and he would have his best guy, Nico Collins, on Cisco, the safety, and he just left him in the middle of the field. And it was just more proof of, hey, that's who we want to try to get the ball to. I heard someone saying in the press box, maybe it was Reggie, maybe it was John, I'm not sure. Maybe it was Pendergast. Maybe I'll just name everybody that was sitting down there. But one of them was, there's no question. Maybe it was Patrick Creighton. There's no question who the number one receiver is. And not just by his numbers, but now, Clint, we talked about who are they going to try to get the ball to. Yeah, we thought it was Diggs. Yeah. They're putting him in positions because they want him to exploit certain matchups. And he has come through time and time again. Big time.
Well, I think, you know, absolutely who the number one receiver is. And I think there might be games where Diggs is like game plan towards to get, you know, to get a matchup or touches or whatever. But I think we've come to a point where over four quarters, as long as Nico's healthy and he's on the damn field for 80%+ of the snaps, he's going to get his. Like just within the, whether they're game plan, like we saw him do a little bit yesterday, like as you mentioned early, Bobby Slowick did it. Or it's just in the flow of the game. It's the off schedule stuff, or it's just your general offense that take the ball where the coverage dictates. Nico's gonna get his when it's all said and done. It like there may be games where Diggs gets more targets, but Nico's still gonna get his production.
Yeah, Nico has a 103-yard lead in terms of most yards in football. All right, Clint, it wasn't all great, though. It wasn't all great as there's some issues with, obviously, the penalties. Here was D'Amico yesterday post-game talking about his thoughts about the mental mistakes with the penalties.
Yeah, the penalties that bug me the most and we have to get off of our tape and off of our team is the mental penalties. That's the ones I can't stand and I can't go for it. Like, we have to play smart. If we want to be a good football team, you have to play the game smart. And we talk about, you know, we look at other teams around the league and we have meetings on these things and guys just have to own up to it and be man enough to stand up and just play the game the right way. A lot of them just, you know, just bonehead penalties that are – and it's uncalled for, right? You don't need those. They're not helping us at all. When we had positive things that happened to us, and we're going backwards. We're in field goal range, and we go backwards because of our own mistakes. So, again, seem like I'm a broken record every time I stand up here. The Texans have to get out of the Texans' way for us to be a good team.
Well, clearly, Clint, we know what the problem is. We've identified the problem. This team struggles with discipline and not getting penalized as they've had their third straight game with double-digit penalties. What's the solution? Like he said, a tired Texans got to get it. Yeah, we got it. What's the solution?
Well, that's the scary part there's been so much of it that I don't think there's a quick fix, Ron. I when I look at it, I know there's a lot of heat on D'Amico and you know he needs to get this right and while I agree he's obviously got to make it a topic every day and make it a point of conversation and a point of emphasis at practice every single day. I'm at a point where I just don't know. I don't know if this ain't a player problem. There's D'Amico can bitch and moan and bring it up in the media and he can talk about guys specifically if they're asked about it. But when it's all said and done, like I don't know like this is a Laremy Tunsil problem, and I'm not talking about his penalty problem. I'm talking about like for him to.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Address. This is a CJ Stroud problem. You know, this is a Danielle Hunter problem. This is a in meetings, guys, we got to be better. Guys, you got to hold each other accountable. If this team is as tight as you know, we believe they are, they've got to have the ability to say, all right, guys, enough is enough. Man, we're going to start holding guys accountable. Like, somebody needs to get in Laremy Tunsil's ass, and it ain't D'Amico Ryan's in front of everybody to the media. Like a lot of folks want to hear it. Like, I think it's so bad, Ron, and it's been going on so long. Like, the only way it's going to get fixed is if the players do it. This is a player problem. I mean, D'Amico can try all he wants, but I mean, he can't go out there and do it for him. And it's been so bad, you can't bench guys. Like, oh, what are you gonna do? You want Sims to lose his job because he fumbled a snap, or Sims to lose his job on topic here because he there was a suspect call of him giving a DB a flipper that was clearly trying to run into him, going run down the sideline. Like, because you want to bench him because he's Sims and he's not Laremy Tunsil. Like, it's been 35 penalties in three games. Like, you can't cherry pick which guys you want to bench or you guys you want to discipline. Like, this is a Texan locker room problem for me.
Yeah. No, it's a big thing, and as we said, the competition is going to get greater. We know that, and it's going to get better coming up on Sunday, and you can't do that and give better teams, better quarterbacks, more chances. All right, coming up, baseball is here. October baseball is here. Playoff baseball is here, and everything we need to know for the Astros is set. Joe Espada, he has spoken today. He'll give an update on Yordan Alvarez, and this game in Atlanta is going nuts right now. Champ Slice here on YouTube and Twitch, just checking in. I've been keeping an eye on this game too. This thing is going crazy. They're fighting for their lives. So we'll give you an update on that as they decide the final spots of the postseason in the National League, and also the latest here with the Texans as well, as we're almost 24 hours after they. Or more than 24 hours after they got their third win. All of that as we continue riding here, right here on The Drive.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care
of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.